Thank you very much. Glad to be here. What I want to do is to present the NRC big database that's readily available to the public here in this country and at large around the world. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Mike Robotham, who's here, Dave Limbo, the director of the Soil Survey Division, and Dave Hoover, who is the director of the Soil Survey Center in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'd like to group these bullets, these points that I want to make, into three categories: the spatial data that's available, the point data that's available, and finding the information. So to start out with soil surveys, soil surveys have been conducted essentially across the entire United States, the conterminous, the lower 48, and many of the territories. And the green areas are the Surgo data that are available. And I wanted to point out that this agency has been in this business for a long time, over 100 years, literally walking the landscape and boring holes. So we've got a lot of technological advances where we can see from space the land surface, but really what's below our feet? That's the question in a lot of, and the only way to do it is dig holes. So this agency's been digging holes and making maps for over 100 years. To give you a sense of the historic context, in 1900, a five-year increment in the 1900s, these were the county soils that were mapped, 1910s, 1920s, 30s, slowing down a bit, and this is the type of soil surveys that were initially made. Cartographically beautiful. Some of these are just really interesting. And a lot of historical and archaeological pertinent information that you can find from these. So we'd call these the first generation. And again, we're plotting here on the y-axis the number of soil surveys published versus time in five-year increments. So it really takes off in the early 1900s. And then you can see a decline during the Depression and the World War II years, and you can see after World War II all these vets coming back and really a very robust mapping program, publishing program, and we call that the second generation of soil surveys. And the big difference here is the use of aerial stereo pair photography. So basically, they're delineating landforms before they actually go out and then test the hypothesis that you've got a certain soil out there. And this would be the second generation of, like Lancaster County, Nebraska. And to give you a sense of this remapping of the country, the second generation is the 50s, 60s, 70s, a lot of activity, 80s. And again, here we're talking about a 10-year delay. So published in the 80s, but actually the ground truthing in the 70s. In the 90s, and then slowing down, now. But the point is that all of these historic surveys are available just by Googling or doing some search engine to soil surveys or soil surveys by state. And you can, click a state like Tennessee, for example. Here's the 1961 Loudoun County, Tennessee soil survey. And get a lot of wonderful information in here that's not digitally available. General maps, for example. And to move on then to the second point in the spatial data, where we are in the digital age, and that's the web soil survey. So if you haven't used this, it's only a matter of a few clicks. And again, the easy way is to just Google web soil survey, and you'll come to this this slide. And basically, you've got these tabs running across the top, so area of interest, so you can type your address, or you can progressively zoom in, and then put a box around your area of interest, and then hit soil map, and there, these are all the different series that are mapped. And then you can go across to the properties, and one property that's used a lot is the hydrologic soil groups. So click that, and here you have the hydrologic soil groups. So just a few clicks and you're there. Then if we zoom out, other big data that are available from the NRCS would be the major land resource areas. And so these are, I wanted to point out that that all of these, the major land resource areas and the rest, are have been made from their beginning with standards, so that the soils mapped in Maine have the same standards as the soils mapped in Arizona. And so if you're calling a BT horizon in North Carolina, that means the same as a BT horizon in New Mexico, for example. So everything has come up with the same standards. So the official series descriptions are also readily available. There are some 25,000 soil series, and that has been the basic mapping unit in the United States. Like the geologists map geologic formations, we have traditionally mapped soil series. And so if, for example, you're interested in the Fullerton series, again, you know, Google official soil series descriptions, and then you'll get a page like this. Type in Fullerton, and there you have the information, the classification, the horizons, the type location, and all of the climatic data that's associated with this series. Okay. All right. Now, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. Now the MLRAs. Okay, the MLRAs, major land resource areas. If you zoom back, these are bigger aggregates of soil information that also take into account the geology, the physiography, the climate, the water resources, and the biological resources. These are contained in Ag Handbook 296. Again, available online, just a few keywords. And over 100, within the lower 48, over 100 major land resource areas. And to give you an example of where we are now, MLRA 155, the Southern Florida Flatwoods. Again, big picture view. Then moving from the spatial data to the point data, the pedons. So over 64,000 pedons have been sampled, and truly this is the biggest data set for any country in the world. I mean, there are some countries that have a lot of data, but this is a tremendously large, big data set for the United States, but also for the world. You know, we've in our archives, in the big database available from the NRCS, there are also pedons from around the world. Okay, and each of the pedons have lab analysis associated with them. So it's a matter of going out, using those standards to delineate the different horizons, to sample the horizons by using standards. And then pedon, let me just explain that a bit. So, you know, a pedon is a three-dimensional volume that's representative of a map unit. And we say that pedons have no boundaries with neighboring pedons, but polypedons, which make up what we call soil individuals, do have boundaries. So a representative pedon of this polygon versus that polygon are different. And it's a matter of sampling the face, running it through the lab, and typically you'll get back 20 physical properties, like percent sand, silt, and clay, bulk density, available water capacity, and some 38 chemical properties, depending on where you are, like cation exchange capacity, the pH, and many other physical properties. All right. And again, each one of these corner here. So every property is keyed to a standard method, and each one of these standard methods are contained in the Soil Survey Laboratory Methods Manual. So it's one thing to know percent clay, it's another thing to know how that percent clay was measured. Okay. The last thing that I'll talk about is finding the information. And in addition to the big data that's available with a few clicks, there's a lot more that's offered by the NRCS. For example, YouTube videos on how to do things, YouTube videos on how to collect soil samples, on how to describe soil horizons, how to do bulk density analysis, and many webinars that are archived that are discussing these. Job aids, you know, that were developed for the National Cooperative Soil Survey, of which the consulting soil scientists are a part. Then, in addition to the training, there are photo galleries that are available, not just of soil profiles, but of landscapes. Are you unsure? Is it Spodosol or Spodosol? There's a guide to pronouncing soil taxonomic terms. Then a lot of people talk about soil taxonomy is impenetrable, and it's just so hard to get through any of these definitions. And so as a result of that, an illustrated guide to soil taxonomy was created, and basically it's a soil taxonomy for dummies, in the sense that it tries to, in more clear language, to express the taxonomic terms and how to get to the taxonomy. The Soil Survey Manual just came out, so we had a Soil Survey Manual produced by Charles Kellogg in 37. In 51, we had the new Soil Survey Manual, one in 93, and now there's one available 2017. Again, a couple of clicks, you can probably get a hard copy. I'm not totally sure about that, but you can probably get a nice bound green copy of Soil Survey Manual, and of course taxonomy, which is always being updated. The easiest way to get it, I'm going to leave you with some websites, but and this will be archived, this presentation, so you can have the websites. But again, just to Google National Soil Survey Center training and a few clicks, and you can get all this information readily available. So here are the websites. Web Soil Survey is one, Soil Characterization Database. You can go to this website, or again, you could Google it, Soil Data Access, Geospatial Data Gateway. And again, if you can't remember all that, just Google National Soil Survey Center and you'll get there. Okay. All right. So, thank you.
A lot of information, a lot of data. So any question for Curtis? Question, comment? Mm-hmm. Now you have a lot of data to work with.
Yeah.
You know the sources. Yes, please.
As a co-author, I'd just like to highlight, if you are interested in Web Soil Survey and learning a bit more, stop by our booth over on the other side, over at the convention center. We do have a Web Soil Survey demo set up, so you can actually, there's a computer there and a big screen, and so you can look up your own place, you can look up the data, we can direct you forward. If you are curious about any particular websites, just talk to the person from NRCS who's staffing the booth there, and we can help you navigate some of that stuff and give you a sneak preview right here at the conference. So feel free to stop on by during the breaks or at lunch or during the poster session.
Good. Okay.
More questions, comments?
Okay.
Yes, guys.
I'm wondering, the land cover management about the soil sensors that you install.
Mm-hmm.
The land cover management.
Mm-hmm. So, I need to repeat the question.
She's asking, do you have the data for the land cover management or land management on each of the soil profile you have? Like, what is the other kind of information available on the soil?
I think that's a different data set. That would be the NRI that would be available. But yes, there. And Mike could probably. Mike, you want to answer that question?
Yeah. The question was asked about how does this relate to land cover and land management. Our traditional soil data, as Curtis pointed out, was soil survey data is based on soil taxonomy principles. So was typically measured on the typical land use at the time it was sampled. So if that was cropland in the Midwest, that pattern would reflect cropland. If that was forest land in the Northeast, that pattern would reflect forest land. One of the issues that we're working on right now and trying to delve into the realm of dynamic soil properties is to add some of these management dependent variables into our database. But right now our databases all measure point time and the land use at that time. So that's a gap in what we, as Curtis mentioned, there are many land cover data sets, but that's a match that people need to make outside of our system right now.
Okay. More questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much, Curtis.
Thank you.